During a 20-year study analysing population data for nearly 500,000 children, it was discovered that no one born with congenital blindness developed schizophrenia.
Welcome to Two Thirds Focused.
See, we didn't interrupt.
Exactly. So
that's the good thing.
Why do I even bother?
You were on cue, and that was perfect.
We are asking ourselves that every single week.
How the fuck are you guys doing?
Nah.
A little better than meh.
Nah.
I'm on vacation now.
No, you'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm officially on vacation now, leaving from work. I'm going to be on vacation tomorrow. That's correct.
Cool. Where are you going?
New York.
Yay.
For a week. Yep.
Nice.
Already have tickets for Broadway. So Steph and I are going to go and see Aladdin.
Nice. Aladdin?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what he said. Cool. I understood it.
Potato. Yeah, it's Aladdin. It's Aladdin, I think, in the US. It's
called. Aladdin. It should be Aladdin everywhere. That's it. And so, yeah. You're happy? You're excited?
Yes.
Nice.
It's nice, and it's also extremely weird.
Why is that?
Because it's going to be the first time in almost 20 years that I go back to New York.
Oh, yeah.
When I first moved out there, I moved to Connecticut, and I spent almost every single weekend in New York, the Big Apple. So it's going to be strange actually going back and seeing it about 20 years later.
Yeah. You'll see something never change, like the welcome that you will get from the people at the airport, security airport.
Well, actually, I'm flying into New York, so it's not that we're flying into JFK.
Okay.
But the thing is, when I first went to New York, that was in 2004, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So that was only 3 years after the terrorist attack.
Yeah.
So they were still moving out the rebel.
Mm.
So that was all pretty fresh in the mind of people, and the whole city didn't really was fully blown coming back to life. One could say, it's gonna be weird. I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a great time. Well, I'm looking forward to the food. Oh, cream cheese bagel with lox. Eating at the diner in the morning. I'm going to gain probably 20 pounds within the next week.
That's what you call vacation. What have you planned other than Broadway and Aladdin?
We're just going to explore the city.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things. There's a lot of things we want to do, but nothing is a must.
Mm-hmm.
Because we like to keep our options.
Sure.
And if we get sidetracked and see an interesting street or something else, then we're just going to deviate from our plans.
Okay.
But there's going to be definitely the only thing we booked is the musical on Broadway. Yeah. And the other thing that we're going to book is a magician show.
Mm-hmm.
This one I'm also looking forward to. Other than that, it's going to be a little bit of museum. There's going to be huge bookstores.
Yeah.
Shopping for other stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. But that's strange. I'm already talking about next week. What am I going to talk about when I come back? We have to record.
How you went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be a possibility. But what I've done this week was, except of working and being fed up with work and waiting for my vacation, I got myself a record player.
Mm-hmm.
Like an old one?
Yeah, like a new old one.
Oh.
Like this one, new old. This one even has Bluetooth connectivity if you want to, which is nice because it gives you the option of I can wear my headphones and listen to a LP while reading a book without bothering Steph or
that's cool.
Yeah, just being too loud. It's right along the lines with, I mean, I'm getting old now, running straight towards 40. So in my...
Hey, we forgot. Happy birthday, Raz.
Yes.
We didn't mention it. Hey, 15. No. Yay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm soon I can drive and drink and all of the good things.
Exactly. Yes. So next year is going to be your coming of age party.
Well, funnily enough, next year I'll be an adult by Hobbit standards.
Yay. That too.
That's scary, but okay. Sorry, Jan, go on.
And you're going to sit with a second dinner. the
always.
He always does. He always
I'm gonna have a second dinner just today.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's with the, how do you call it, with the LP player, it's kind of a little bit, how do I describe it the best? I started doing analog photography to slow down a little bit, to force myself. Doing the same with, I started reading books again. And I found out that I didn't buy it because of the sound. Like people that say that LP sound completely different or vinyl sounds completely different from CD. Mm-hmm. There is a difference. You can actually hear it a little bit, but it's not like the main reason. I
agree. It sounds different. What I don't agree with is people saying that it sounds better. It doesn't sound better.
No, it sounds at least the LPs I got, it sounds warmer. Like there's an overall warmness to the sound.
Completely different.
But that might be just my stereo system, how it's interpreting the LP. But that's not the big point about it, right? What I really enjoy about it is getting out the LP. What you usually buy on a CD, or used to buy on a CD, you have two LPs. So you put in the LP, you start the LP, there is no, skipping a song.
Yeah.
You just let it play. And there's, I think, three or four songs maximum on one side of it. And then you have to turn it around and listen to the next one. And after you're done, you put it away, you get the next one out and laid in. So it's a lot more thought through. Like you're actually listening to the music and enjoying it.
Hmm.
And I thoroughly enjoyed that for the last couple of days, laying on the sofa, having that playing, and like, I got the Californication from Red Hot Chili Peppers, and just laying there reading a book, listening to it, and I enjoyed it.
Cool.
So that was my week. How about you guys?
Raz, what about you?
You had a storm. We also had a storm. That I nearly forgot because it's a long time ago now. But last week we had, I think, nearly positive 9 degrees in Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started plummeting. And it went down and down and down. And then we had a blizzard, like a proper decent winter storm here on Saturday.
Yeah.
One of those where I wake up and I look at the window and I wonder why is everything white?
Again.
We had 19C today.
Yeah, fuck off. It's wrong.
Yeah. We were close to that too.
I think we have 3 degrees to get today.
Hmm? Okay.
Yeah, sounds fair. I like that. It's nice to work in a t-shirt in the forge when it's up to 5 degrees outside. But no, there was a blizzard thing, a snowstorm. And it's one of those where it's like, I want to go in the forge. I just want to have a little bit of a play. I wake up, look out the window and go no, I'm not. And then I watched on Instagram and on news and such later on. I was downtown Oslo, trees has fallen down.
Yep.
Oh.
I've seen that.
And
Not good.
Was it because of snow? Was it because of the wind or was it because of the weight of the snow?
Oh, probably the wind. Okay. I don't think it didn't snow that much compared to what it did just around New Year's. That's when we had massive snowfalls last. If it was the snow alone, it should have come down then. But I think we have a lot more wind going on now.
Mm.
So, yeah. And the really fun thing, apparently, is that this is a tree that the landowner requested to have removed by the city a couple of years ago because dead branches was falling down on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But because this is in a really, really posh part of Oslo, by the looks of it, it is the embassy district in Oslo.
It looked fancy and nice and clean and big buildings.
And when the tree eventually came down, it managed to strike 2 Teslas.
Yes.
Yes. Off the sides of the street, 2 in 1 go. The landowner apparently did the smart thing of saying there's branches falling. Someone should come look at this and at least prune something, if not actually remove it. But the city said, no, it looks too good. You can't take it down. And then Mother Nature said, fuck the lot of you, and we're taking this down anyway.
And 2 Teslas.
And 2 Teslas, yeah. that was the weekend. But then apart from that, I've been finishing up the knives I forged last week. And I now have a knife burrito cooking in the oven of some 20-something knives.
Which is half.
And the reason for making so many knives now is because my old scout group is stopping by the forge tomorrow.
Oh, nice. How many people are coming?
I don't know. I don't think there's a whole lot. I think there might be 8 of them plus a leader stopping by. 8 or 10. They wanted 10 knife blades to make knives out of.
Okay.
Because that's a thing we do in my scouts group. And 20 years ago, that's what I did. Made my first knife in the scouts.
Good. Okay.
Which was really, really fun. So I'm sort of repaying the favor of making knife blades for them. And they're coming to the forge to see how I work and the bit of the play. And I'm not sure actually what we will make yet, but they have 2 hours and I would like to do something with them.
So you're getting the next generation of blacksmith addicted.
Yes. Yes. We better start that's early.
Cool. Yeah.
Gotta get them before football takes them or something stupid.
How old are they?
I don't know. I'm not active in the group anymore. So.
No, but you don't have an idea?
12 region? To 14, I think.
Yeah, oh, so just around your age. Wow.
Yes, thank you. I also like that when I said 20 years ago, you both just ignored it completely. So, yeah.
Because we knew you were making up stuff.
Anyway, Red, how about you? What's the myth for?
Life in general? No, my PC is fucked up again. This time, I think I figured it out. Like last time I mentioned it, it was because of my GPU being fried and I got a new one, so everything's fine. And I tried to install it the other day, and the PC was completely fried. So no responsive, that nothing was happening. So I had to take it apart, clean it, investigate. Apparently the PSU is fine, but I think the motherboard is completely fried. But I will have to do more testing tomorrow. I'm receiving a small device in order to test the power supply unit, just to see if everything is working great, and a new motherboard, because then I know the motherboard is dead. But the causes are unknown yet. So the cause of the GPU being fried and the motherboard can be the motherboard, like, because it was dying at the time and now it's completely dead. Or it can be a problem with the PSU that fried the motherboard and the GPU. So
yeah.
So yeah, it sucks because it costs money. I don't have a computer to work on. So yeah, meh.
Yeah, but, understandably so.
Yeah, it's just annoying to when
also you're falling.
When you think that one thing is done, you're done with one thing, that like the graphic card problem was solved. And there is something else with the same computer and it's just adding up, and you have to redo everything once again with a different issue, with a different problem, and it just fucking never stops. So yeah. Anyway, other than that, I'm good. Nothing special, just my PC dead at the moment. So
You should really be concerned about is that you're falling behind on your Fortnite practice.
That too. I can't play. I can't edit video. I can't work on patterns. I can't play Fortnite. I can't play with my kid at Fortnite. I can't. There's a lot of I can't do without my computer. So it's a bit annoying. It's kind of a detox somehow. Like it's been like 3-4 days now.
And you're hating every second.
Yeah.
Nice that you're calling it a detox, but you're actually hating it.
No, I'm not. I still have a laptop that I'm using to record a podcast, and so I can do stuff. I can work and I can search solution for the problem that I have with my computer and order new parts and everything. So I'm not really an addict, but it's just annoying to have something broken in the house. I hate that. And it can be my computer or the dishwasher or anything. I don't like that a possibility is taken away from me because the thing, it just doesn't work. So, and it takes so much time to just fix that kind of stuff. And it's expensive as well. Did I mention that it was expensive? PCs are expensive.
No, it's expensive.
Very expensive. Yeah, it's kind of expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. It's annoying.
That's why you need to make money so you can put it as a business expense.
Yes, exactly. But to make money with my business, I need my PC.
But you are talking to us through a PC.
No, I'm talking to you through my laptop, and I can't do shit for work with my laptop.
That's a bad excuse.
No, it's just it's just the way it is.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know. And I really also know that feeling of having to take that step back from everything was working. You had a system, you had a routine, you were used to how quickly or how slowly things were going or would take when doing certain things, like rendering videos or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you suddenly need to step back to the previous version or previous generation of tools and how the fuck did I ever...
Well, not have tools at all. Just like imagine that your forge breaks down and you have no way to heat metal to forge metal. You don't have anything, like no coal, no gas forge, nothing.
No, there's plenty of wooden houses in Norway.
Can you get them that hot though?
Ignoring the fact that we are discussing arson, yes. it would be really impractical to use as a heat source for forging. But in theory, you could.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Good to know. Do you have a topic? criminal activities?
Yeah, let's talk about things that is not criminal most places.
Please.
Or at all. I had a couple of conversations like over the last few months, more conversations than I like in general, but specifically about this. And that is, people have asked if I would take on an apprentice or if they could come and learn from me.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that is like kind of like just working for me as free labor to learn something, or if it's like as an intern thing, or actually having a paid apprentice or something like that. Like, there's been multi variations on that conversation, and it started to bother me more and more that I don't feel like I'm in a position to do that kind of thing.
Okay, why?
Because I would love to. I would have loved myself to have the opportunity of just coming to someone and be able to work for them, because I am like chock full of enthusiasm and energy, and that can be channeled by someone and I can learn from it. I would have loved that myself.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to do that, but I don't feel like I can.
Like being an apprentice or taking anyone?
Both, kind of. I mean, being an apprentice, I got too many responsibilities and jobs, and I'm too busy to try to be an apprentice somewhere else at the moment. I would need to really plan for that and figure things out. I would love to be able to take more classes from people or actually pay people who know a lot to come and work for them and things like that.
Okay.
Just so that I can learn new things. But specifically, it's the inverse of that. People coming to me and want to learn from me. And I don't feel like I have the downtime to set aside to teach someone, or even to bring someone up to speed enough so that they can be useful to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that annoys me.
Yeah, I see.
Something you would wish for, or like...
Well, yeah. I mean, the dream scenario is that I'm able to be efficient enough and make enough money doing the regular thing that I can have a day a week or something where I'm focusing on teaching someone else. That would be the dream. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that means like everything else is stable enough and secure enough that I can like securely put aside that time and give to someone else.
Is this just something you would like to do in general? Because I'm asking pretty bluntly, would that be for you priority to do something like this? Because if you would have more time and your business would be sustainable enough, would that really be the first thing you do, those classes, or would it be something else to further improve your business?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the dichotomy of this, where I'm at now. Like, I would love to be able to just scale down to working 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first dream. But if you're thinking long term, if I'm dreaming of how do I want this to be in the future, like, and specifically, I would love to be in that place where I can just give a day of my week or something to someone just because I know it will be important to them.
That's not how apprenticeship works.
Oh, I know. I'm making things up, basically.
No, but I don't see, aside from the imposter syndrome of you not feeling able to take care of someone like full time for a week, a month, or a year.
It's not imposter syndrome in the sense that I don't feel like I can't teach. I know
you can teach because you're giving classes, but it's a different responsibility to have an employee or an apprentice under your roof that you need to take care of. You need to somehow pay. You need to give kind of directions or order, or at least tell them what to do and when to do it. It's very different from giving a class.
If I'm interjecting a bit, part of this is sort of the workload and finance bit of things, where I would love to be stable enough and know that I could guarantee their pay X number of months in advance, preferably half a year. I would have that money on the book so that I can pay them to do the work, to do production for me, that I will not be able to sell until 6 months later, because that's when market season picks up and things like that. Another part is just how the workshop is laid out. Currently, it is not a good place for more than one person to work at long term. I could make it work, but because I'm doing the retail side of the grinders, that takes so much space.
Okay.
So we need to figure out a solution for that instead. Make sense?
Makes sense. We can still rearrange the workshop.
I mentioned before a while back that I potentially could rent the basement of the house on the same lot that the forge is at.
Yeah.
And I could do the whole retail side out of that space. But that would basically probably nearly double the rent I'm currently paying.
Yeah, but I still don't see the real hurdle there. I mean, you can find solution to every problem that it will create. But having an apprentice, like, first of all, you would have to check what's the regulation, what's the law in your country, how much you have to pay them, like, minimum.
So apprentice system in Norway for blacksmithing is a bit different, which is not helping my case at all. But the way it is now, I would probably not have to pay them anything.
Yeah,
they would be paid by the apprentice organization in Norway.
That was my thinking. Because when you take an apprentice in France, you don't have to pay them. You can pay them whatever you want to pay them, but apprenticeship is not like a quote-unquote real job. In France, if they are willing to accept the condition that you are offering them, you are not bound to any kind of minimum salary or whatever. So you say you come here, you work 20 hours, I pay you $20 if that's okay with you, because that's the only thing that I can pay you. If that's okay for you, what I'm offering you, what I'm paying you, is the knowledge that I have. You're basically like learning for free. So it's a trade that you do between you and your apprentice, but legally you have some obviously regulation that you have to follow. But it's more like a contract, moral contract, that you offer and they accept. So I don't see the problem with money. I don't see the workshop can be rearranged. The way you work for production or for classes can be rearranged and rescheduled. So what I really hear when you say you're not feeling able to welcome someone, it's just like the burden or responsibility to take care of someone and to teach that specific person your job, which is very different from giving a class for 2 hours or for 2 days.
Yeah, it is. There's definitely something there that seems more scary than just teaching a class for people.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be.
It is not that it is directly scary. It is just that it feels kind of daunting to make sure that I can do that as well as I would like to do it.
I'm sure it'll do just fine if you do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of figuring out all of the ways of doing it correctly, kind of.
What's correctly?
No, I don't know. I haven't looked that deep into it. But like, one thing is like, first and foremost, I would need to do all of the work to make sure I can do this correctly.
Yeah, so...
And I mean, like, in the money side is one thing. Like, yeah, the salary for an apprentice blacksmith in Norway is laughable.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I would love to be in a position where I can pay them commission for the things they produce for me that I can actually sell.
Yeah.
To pay them fairly for that.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So like, yeah, it's some kind of scheme there. But also it's just the fact of the responsibility of making sure that they have stuff to do, that the workshop is a good place for them to work in for both of us long term.
That's okay. I mean,
and also finding someone that not only I will tolerate, but that will tolerate me.
Yeah, that might be the hard part. No, I really understand what you're saying about all of this. And even the topic is there something that you would like to do and maybe not feel
enough? I would like your input from
your
life.
Yeah, but... exactly. I was asked 3 or 4 years ago, probably 3 years ago, by someone to become my apprentice, like in leather working. She was a young girl. She was learning all about costume making. And she had for school to have an apprenticeship of like 2 months or something. And I was like, no, because first of all, I can't welcome you in my workplace, because at the time I was still at my parents' place, and it was like a 3x3 room with a roof at some places 2.20 meters, and at the other side of the room was probably 1.45. So you can't stand everywhere.
Yeah.
See? So I was not feeling comfortable working with someone in that small space, because it was also like an official thing for school, and I really wanted to give her a good experience, good knowledge, good teaching, being in the best condition for me to keep working on stuff and her learning useful stuff. So I think exactly the same reasoning that you are having now. If someone was to come to me right now and ask me for an apprenticeship, I want to learn what you are doing. I would be, okay, good, come. I will show you. I will show you for a week. And if you are up here at the end of the week, we can renew it for another week and maybe after that for a month. But the first thing it's not like I'm going to teach you how to do leather work A to Z in a week or in a month. You're going to learn everything. So cleaning the workshop, editing videos, managing the stuff that I need to do my work. So doing a supply run, being bored, being tired, having to deal with socials, responding to emails, giving quotes, working a lot on design, on patterns, and so on and so forth. So it's the idea that you have for yourself of an apprenticeship is probably not accurate in the sense of everything that you do in your shop, not even thinking about it, like cleaning, putting stuff aside, picking up gas, everything that you do because you're used to is part of the job, is part of what they will have to learn if they become your apprentice. Yeah. And that's also good teaching. That's also part of the job. So they have to see and do and learn The only real thing is, do you have the will to do it? Do you have the capacity to do it? After that, everything is like, you can rearrange, you can reorganize, you can reschedule, you can find a solution.
Yeah. And currently I do not feel like I have the capacity.
That's fine.
Especially
that's fine.
The mental capacity of taking care of someone else's learning on a regular basis.
Yeah. Sure.
That could be, I think that's probably most of it.
Yeah.
I think so. I agree.
It is, but it's still that kind of thing of, I would love to be able to be that person that could have an apprentice on the regular in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That day will come. When you are like in 70 years from now, when you're an old grumpy blacksmith all alone and your work will be admired by so many, one young guy will come to you and ask for your knowledge. And that day you will give your knowledge, you will transmit your knowledge and pass it on to your younger generation.
To be before that, though,
you don't have to wait until you're 120. But if you're not feeling it right now, it can be about organization, money, or whatever. But it's mainly mostly about confidence in yourself and in your capacity of taking care of someone.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the more this confidence will maybe grow in you till the day you'll be able to, without even thinking about it, say, yes, tomorrow, you start tomorrow, and we'll figure everything else will be figured out together.
Okay. There's one more aspect I'm realizing here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to also take an apprenticeship and then tell them I'll be moving workshop.
I mean, yeah, but now you're looking for kind of like the reasons why it's not working. So if you like you would love to take on an apprentice at one point, you can set the way and make your future decisions on that. This is one of your goals. This is what I said. It's like if it's a priority for you to actually do that, because you could, you have the best outcome for taking an apprentice. You can, your blacksmithing classes you're giving, you can already experiment with different kinds of teaching to see which one is like the best one for the people you teach, or like which one is taken positively, which one helps you and your maybe future apprentice. Like there's a lot of stuff you can use your day-to-day work to prepare for if you choose to take on an apprentice one day. I mean, it's got, I don't know how to describe it best. When I started working as a service engineer, well, basically I worked as an electronic technician, and then I wanted to go into service. I always knew I wanted to move to the US. I had no clue in how I'm going to do it, but I always kept my eyes and ears open to see if an opportunity arises. I knew, basically, if you have a split in or fork in the road ahead of you, I know if I had to go left or right, which brought me closer to my goal.
That's not part of the issue. My problem is, like laughably, with my current track record of moving workshop, I shouldn't have an apprentice that suddenly will realize, oh, in a few months, I will be gone halfway through, a third of the way through their apprenticeship. I don't want to put someone through that. Another thing is, I actively don't want to be in Oslo long term. I want to buy my own place and have my own small farmstead kind of thing somewhere else.
Maybe.
So I'm kind of feeling like I wish I could be in a place where I knew this is where I'm going to be in perpetuity.
Yeah.
And then actually make that space somewhere where I want to do the things I want to do long term, which includes having an apprentice.
That's maybe, that will probably help, that knowing that you won't have to move, that you won't have to deceive that person, that apprentice, because you will be gone in a few months, in a few weeks.
And it is kind of that aspect like, it is very much in my head. I probably could, I kind of have made the commitment of saying, like, from moving workshop, I'm going to be at least 2-3 years more in Oslo. Because of the cost of moving workshop and getting the routine and rhythm going is so high. Also, I don't want to put my friends through moving workshop again and again and again.
Yeah, it's getting expensive in pizzas.
If only the pizza was the expensive part. But yeah, I guess it just feels too limiting and a bit too daunting to commit so much to be somewhere temporarily, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think that the problem is that you are not fully committed to anything yet, aside from your job.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have a family, you don't have a place to, you own, you don't, your workshop is a rental, so you can move easily. You're still young. So you don't have something that roots you deep in the ground to the point where you are settled and you won't move.
And part of the thing that makes the workshop now in Oslo so manageable, like cost-wise, is the fact that I'm renting the flat out of my nan's.
Mm-hmm.
But she also had a birthday yesterday and turned 95.
Yeah.
And she's going through...
And he does it to her.
Yeah. And she's going through dementia.
Yeah.
So like, she has a very clearly limited number of years left. We just don't know exactly how many.
Mm.
So I think maybe everything comes from that bit of uncertainty that when she dies, this house will be sold. Mm-hmm. And then I need to figure shit out.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was that's what I was referring to when I was saying you're not rooted. Yet. And the day you settle down with your own house, with your own workshop, it will be probably way easier to take an apprentice with you.
Yeah.
Not only to ease your work, if that can be a thing when it's between a master and an apprentice, the apprentice will help. So hopefully it will ease your work and ramp up your production and everything that goes with it, but also transmit everything that you know to someone else to just pass it on from generation to generation, which is a great thing. The responsibility at that time will probably feel lighter than it is at the moment. And you will probably be able to focus a little bit more on what you are actually transmitting, giving to the apprentice, and not worrying about everything else, like what you have to sell, if you have to move, what you're going to eat for second dinner or whatever. It will make things easier to just be settled and reassured that you have a roof, you have your workshop, you have your work. So you can take something else in your workload as an apprentice, for example, because everything is under control. Mm. And at the moment, it's probably not.
Yeah.
I think you
summed it up fairly well.
It's not criticism in any way, but
let's say
the owner of your forge says to you, in 3 months, I need the workshop back. Mm. That part you can't control. If your nan dies and the house is sold, you will have to find a place. That's not under control. And that's fine. You're young. You have the life ahead of you and you will move plenty of times again. But the day you are...
Hopefully not too much more.
Not too much. Probably not. But at least, like, let's say twice. Okay?
I think I can do that.
The day everything... That part of your life is done, okay, under control, fixed... It frees so much other stuff, time and worry and energy that you can really focus on different stuff and move forward. And so it's probably not the next step for you taking an apprentice. It might be one day and that would be great. I'm sure you'll do just fine with it. Sometimes it's just about timing, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. But I think we have covered our bases on my side of this now. For your guys though, what is kind of the thing in your life that you wish you had time for or could do but haven't been able to make room for yet?
Yeah, and you have something?
It's not so much that what I have like room for at the moment, but I wish what I've could have done or should have done is I always dreamed of being self-employed. And I wish I would have sooner or like at a certain age basically put the savings together to just try it. To just like follow an idea, try it for a year. And if it fails, it fails. And I go back to what I'm doing. Because now I'm in a situation where I've been in my job for so long that from a time and from a financial perspective, it would not be advisable to do it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So this is basically what it comes down to. It's like looking back, there would have been a couple of business ideas where I should have just gone for it and said, like, screw it. I'm taking a year off of work. I'm going to fully commit to it because those were all ideas where you have to commit to it and fully do it. And I kind of wish I would have done that. So this is kind of like, you could say, like one of the only regrets. It's hard calling it a complete regret because I'm also, I've been doing well with what I've been doing as like an employee. But yeah, that's something I wish I would have done.
Do you have, if you want to talk about it, do you have a concept already of what you would like to have to do?
I used to have plenty of them over the years. And some of them situational. Some of them I'm glad I didn't do it looking back. Other ones I still think they could have worked. For example, there was a time when I really thought about opening up a gyro or döner I think it's called gyro, like basically the Turkish meat, like the steak meat one. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do that in Cali, in California.
Oh.
Because like it's the turning meat roasting.
Exactly, because there was none.
Okay.
Because I realized at one point whenever I got back to Germany on vacation, it was one of the first things I ate here because I missed it. And it's convenient food. And especially in California where they're like kind of that health trip, having like the meat and then but also having the vegetable, tomato, all the other stuff in there. Like this would be great because fast food is almost always unhealthy. At least it was 15 years ago when I left there. Like California was probably like one of the healthiest places. But still, you're looking at Mexican kitchen, like everything's deep fried, everything's done. I mean, of course, the meat, it's not. I mean, there's a lot of oil or grease on it. But other than that, it's like the way it's packaged.
Yeah.
Kind of convinced that what's healthy. And it's scalable. I mean, hell, we know it works over here in Germany, like it's been done before. So this was actually one of the ideas where I actually was looking into permits and what they need, because it's a little bit tricky because the meat on the inside is raw. Because of regulations there, you would have to cook it through, but there were already some like loopholes and ways around that. So it was really just about finding suppliers.
Sorry, you mean while it is on the spit rotating, the center is raw? It not served raw?
No, not served raw, but for the US, like at that point, at least from what I read, for them it was exactly the same as serving it raw.
So
the law basically didn't...
I get that.
They didn't see it. Yeah, but then on the other side, you can serve a steak medium rare or rare.
Yeah. I mean, exactly that.
America. So that was kind of weird, but that was one of the ideas back then, and I think it has been done since then. But in the 10 years, I'm not 100% sure. Like I haven't followed it through, but because of the food truck business over there for like lunch breaks and everything, starting with one, see how it goes, and then just scale it up from there.
There was one food truck in Tokyo selling kebab. That's exactly what you described. Always a queue in front of the food truck, only for onions, because that was the only kind of food that you were having a really hard time finding in Tokyo. That's a kebab.
Yeah.
So the guy was crazy rich because he was selling all day long, and mainly to foreigners. And we were so happy to find that truck that day because you can eat whatever you want over there. You can find restaurants about everything, anything, even English food. But kebab, really hard to find. So I think it's a good idea when you have an idea like this, that something that people miss because they can't find it in a place. That's a good business idea, I think. I don't know anything about that, but I guess.
The other one was, and this is more similar to them, what Rasmus said, is when I was over in California, we're talking about that was 2005, 2006, the whole solar business started.
Yeah.
And it was in the really like baby steps, like in the beginnings with the solar panels. And I was just like, dude, in California, like sun shines all year round. And I really wanted to go into it. That was impossible for me because I was an electronic technician. And this is one of the only jobs in the US that is not like I would have to do all the certifications again because of the different voltages and the different regulations.
Yeah.
So I would have to be like a journeyman I even be a journeyman. I would have done an apprenticeship. Like I would have gone through everything again. It would have taken me 6 years to go to that step. And that's why it fell through, because I was just like, nah, I'm not doing that. But this was one of the other ideas. And looking back for it, I mean, solar business, hey, I mean, even just being one of the first ones in the field and being long enough for to do the whole Tesla Powerwall thing to be a certified distributor for one of them, that would have been huge.
Not too late. I mean, for solar panel, maybe. But not to launch your own business and be self-employed. It's not too late. Some people became...
And your mic's gone again. you can see it. Like,
yeah, Patreon version of this is going to be excellent.
Oh, yeah, I bet. no, I was saying it's maybe not too late.
It's the same as Rasmus. Like, it's not too late, but it's not advisable at the moment.
Maybe not for solar panel, but something different when the times come and the idea is good and the business is favorable to your idea and you feel like doing it because you just want to take a break from your company for 6 months, 1 year, or just want to take the risk. You have enough money on the side to employ someone to create the business while you're still working in the company.
That sounds romantic, but taxes, insurance, and everything I have to pay for it kind of makes that difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do the leap, and that is true, and there would be different, how do you call it? Like, if it's not impossible that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm not planning on doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if my company would shut down, for example, like my employee, and before I start working at another company, I might consider trying something. So if I'm forced anyway, but leaving the company I'm working for now, because the thing is, I kind of like doing my job, or what not, kind of like, I really like doing my job. There's some things I'm not happy with my company, but who is? Like, if you're employed, there's always something.
Oh yeah, my boss is an absolute dick.
Yeah, mine too. So don't worry, we feel you.
Mine is absolute wonderful, and the chance he ever listens to that.
No, yours is fine. Yours is absolutely great. But Rasmus and me personally, yeah. we have terrible bosses. So
yeah,
they are dicks and they're lazy and everything. They are underpaid. Anyway, would that be the difference between like a dream and a backup plan?
It's definitely more than a dream. It's like a dream is something, it's just, oh, it would be nice doing this or that. Like, those are actually things I've looked into it. And those are only two of the things I'm telling you guys. Like, there's a lot of business ideas that think could work. There's some that would, and then there's also, of course, what makes money and what is actually fun and what is something I would love to do. And those are usually going quite two different ways.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I see.
How about for you, Red?
Oh, there is so many things that I wish I could, but I don't or can't. Like, if only for work, I would love to have someone to be able to pay someone to edit the videos. That I would do so much more videos because I would be able to focus on the other part of the job, which is, again, designing, creating the pattern, working on the thing, making the prototype, and then making the real version, and it would save me so much headache and time. I would love to have someone to be able to just focus on that part of the job and have someone that manages all the social media aspect of it, which is kind of essential. If I want to sell stuff, my stuff has to be seen by people. Videos are a good thing, a good way to be seen. Instagram posts are a good way to be seen. TikTok videos and Facebook posts and everything else. But I have to do all myself. And I think that's also one of the hurdle that I created for myself, is to overthink it.
Just to sort of dial back and remind you what the original question was.
Yeah.
Is that something you actively want to pursue to make happen?
Yeah, at some point I want to employ someone to do so. But again, it comes back to what you were saying. I'm not feeling comfortable at the moment to have someone like to come. They wouldn't have to come to my place to do that kind of job. The job would be mainly editing the video, so I can send the raw footage and they can do whatever according to my instructions. But if you also have someone who would take care, same person, take care of the editing, take care of the shooting, of the filming of the video, it improves the quality of the video, and it's one more thing that you don't have to think about. Like, you just focus on the task that you have. So I would love to do that, but I can't pay them. I can't welcome them at my place, like, safely and comfortably to do so. So the first step for me would be probably to simplify the idea that I have of my business to don't think that much about everything that you need to put in place for it to work. Yeah. And actually make it work, like by doing the job and not having like a website and homepage or this and that and the fancy place and the fancy camera and the fancy editing style or whatever. A lot of people are successful with very simple videos, very yeah. simple posts, because the what's important is what they produce. And that's always been my main focus, putting the what I'm producing at the very center of the video. But in order to be different and to be noticed, the style, your video style, or your video editing style has to be different as well. So it's a very complicated subject, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that. But I'm if I can simplify everything and I can develop my business to the point where I can rent a place and pay someone to do the editing, of course I will do it. Obviously I will do it, because it's kind of painful for me to edit a video, spend so many hours on editing a video for very little views, whereas I should be or could be spending that video editing time working on something different, something that I could sell, something that could make someone happy, that could be in my way of seeing things successful. And it can be because it sells or because someone is happy to have it. See what I mean?
Yeah. What it will, I recognize what you're saying, because that's something I would like as well, which is very silly to say, because I have no like proper reason to want to do a lot of YouTube stuff, because at the moment it just takes time and it doesn't make me any money. And especially it doesn't make me enough money to live by in Norway.
Yeah, sure.
But
same in France. So quick sidebar. I learned that the way that YouTube pays you is very different in Europe from countries to countries. Like, if let's say you make a certain amount of views in France, enough views for you to be paid like $5,000 in France, you would earn nearly $12,500 in Norway. So it would be way more well paid in Norway.
So is it adjusted for average income or something?
No idea what it's based on.
Considered it really as a thing. To me it's more like the whole YouTube, I didn't consider YouTube itself to be the only source of revenue. Videos would generate money based upon maybe the Patreon, maybe sponsorships. Maybe direct sales and marketing of things I make and so on and so forth. So it is something in my mind that makes very much sense to do. But as with you now, it doesn't feel like something I can invest a lot in. But it is also one of those things, and I'm saying this mostly to you now, if you're able to start doing it and you start able to do it correctly, even if it's just one out of four videos that you pay someone else to do, that should be balanced out in such a way that they are more efficient, they are cheaper than you spending your time doing it. You can do all of the creation of the thing that actually generates value.
Yeah.
They just help get it out to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if for the first year you're able just to put aside the money and have one out of four videos edited by someone else, then that puts you ahead. So next year maybe you can do one in three.
Yes.
You see where I'm going? Like, it's up on itself. If you are doing it correctly, if the maths adds up, if the world doesn't go absolutely bonkers again.
The thing is that I've been on both sides of the work. I've been the one wanting to hire someone to edit my videos, and I've been the one hired to edit stuff. And I know the time it takes, and I know how a fair our wage is, and in the end it's always too expensive for the client, and I really understand that, because editing just fucking takes time, and if you want to do it right, it's going to be expensive. So I currently don't have the money to pay someone a reasonable amount of money, even for one video a month or one out of four, let's say, I would love to, but it would be a good starting point, I think. That's something I'm gonna try and do. Just
if I may push you a bit though.
Yeah.
Do you have a plan for how to get there?
Not currently, because the topic is really new to me. The idea of the topic is really new to me.
Okay.
No, but I never act when it comes to the job. I never act like on an impulse. I try to have a plan. I try to think about what I need to do and how I need to act in order to get there. So if that's something that I really decide to do, I will find a way, even if it takes time and resources that I currently don't have, because fucking broken computer is gonna suck up all my money. But yeah, I'll find a way, probably. I will. That's something that I really at least would like to try once. To see how it goes and how I feel about it in the end when the final product is done, like the video is here. I've made the thing that I can sell. The video is here, produced like by someone else. How would I feel about the video? That's the higher doubt that I have is on that. Will I like the video? Will I not? Will I say, it's just a video. It doesn't really matter if people like it. That's fine. The job is, I'm always able to recognize that someone else has done a better job than me. So hopefully the video will be better than anything that I can produce, will have more success, and I will be super happy with it. If it has as much or even less success than the video that I do myself, I would probably be a little bit annoyed to have to pay that much amount of money for a video to be done by someone else.
Yeah,
but I mean,
that is a tricky thing. And
yeah,
it is kind of the same problem I have with someone coming into the workshop and doing work for me, because I have a certain standard that I know I can do.
Yeah.
And my question is always like, well, but how long will it take me to take someone up to the skill level I would like them to be at to just produce this one thing?
How many years did you practice before reaching your actual level and your actual standards?
I'm 10 years in at this time.
So you have your answer. It's at least 10 years in for
Well, but that is in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's over half of your life. No, just kidding.
No, but like it is kind of the wrong question, but it's the right concern.
I think so, yeah.
Because yeah, it's a valid thing to be worried about.
Mm.
But it's not the problem you should be focusing on.
No.
Because it is more important to find the person who is willing to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And you have already done the problem solving to figure out the system that works for you.
Yeah.
You just need to show them that and trust them and find someone you can trust first and foremost, that they will take your system, they will learn that and adapt it to how they work.
And improve it
to work for them. But more importantly, like trust them that they have the same kind of motivation or a similar one that will give you the result you want that is good enough to refer back to an older episode.
I think that's really the problem when it comes to picking an apprentice. Having talked to many very skilled people who don't want to have an apprentice anymore is to find that gem, that absolute rare person that will be able to be, I'm going to say shaped, but like it's just a raw diamond that you will shape and polish to the point that they will shine brighter than you, and you will be happy to just leave your spot or place to them.
I think, are we going a bit maybe too far off and into a longer
episode? Probably, I'm tired.
But I just want to say that, and this is a conversation I had with a friend of mine who was doing a lot of volunteer work, and that's the fact of you always kind of measure people up towards the best performer. But the best performer in anything is an outlier. They are the rare one. What you almost must do is measure up against the average.
Mm-hmm.
What is acceptable performance for someone to do in this position? What is the acceptable level of finish on a product when it's done.
Yeah.
Not what you demand of yourself, but what is acceptable for someone else to do for you.
Absolutely.
Sounds like something to focus on.
Yes.
Damn, this I feel like I'm almost turning into a motivational podcast of sorts.
We have to be careful and watch ourselves. We suck.
Jan, what's your focus?
My focus is Paul Jackman from Jackman Works.
Okay.
Because he made as a wedding
okay,
person.
Okay, I'll find someone else then.
Yep. Oh, you've just been waiting to say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, the sausage body-shaped bowl
he
made.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal. And I love the title of it because it's a bowl you wouldn't buy because he makes no heel out of it. It's just like no one puts that amount of work in a normal bowl. Like it would not be feasible to sell it afterwards.
Yeah.
But he likes to do stuff like that as a present. And it is phenomenal. It is beautiful. And I mean, it's Paul's humor is fantastic as always.
He's good.
So thoroughly enjoyed that. That was mine. How about you guys?
So mine is someone called Nefi Garcia. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. He's a guy. I stumbled upon his account on TikTok and he's making the most incredible dresses that I've ever seen. I don't wear dresses. I know nothing about dresses. I can only judge on the feeling that I get when I see his work. And it's just wonderful craftsmanship and it's beautiful. It's in a very specific world and aesthetic, but that's something that that specific aesthetic is something that I really enjoy. I have no idea if he's a costume designer or something else. I just love his work. So if you want to have a look, go on TikTok and check for Nephi, Nephi Garcia. And you'll be probably amazed and you will love his work.
All right. And I have Working with Iron, the YouTube channel, which is someone I started following a long time ago and hasn't produced anything new in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
No, sorry, 1 year. But it's a YouTube channel which I gone back to simply because in the whole teaching apprenticeship kind of thing, I've been curious about how other people are teaching, explaining concepts, how they think and move through the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot of really, really good blacksmithing videos, specifically around technique and process.
Okay.
This is like longer videos for the most part, but they're also really, really good if you want to learn about blacksmithing. Because he's really good at explaining things and showing how he's thinking and what he's doing.
Cool.
Working with Iron on YouTube. One word.
Nice.
Do we have any last little tiddly bits?
No.
No. Then Jan can fuck off to America again.
Yay!
And thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you. No, wait, you do the outro thing first. Sorry. And you can tell Jan to collectively fuck off. Yes. At 2/3 focused on Patreon.
Yeah.
And that. You can find me at Rasmus Lewin and lewinsmeer.no.
And you can find me at my desk trying to fix my computer.
And you can find me in New York.
Excellent. Thank you for listening.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.